thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, today, apostolically, there are some things happening in the spirit realm that falling short of the apostles' ministry, we would not see it. There are realms and levels that the church has never experienced because of a lack of kingdom government. And I'm being exposed apostolically to some things. I've been in the ministry 47 years. I'm being exposed to some things in the spirit realm since I say to the Lord, I'll do what he want me to do along this line. I'm your pastor, but also walking in that office of the apostle brings new dimension. I need you to pay close attention to what God is saying to you because you're about to be promoted. I want to expose you something this morning prior to telling you what we're going to minister about. I want to expose you to something called life deposit. There will be some deposit made in your life this morning. And you know, when you make a deposit, there's something come after deposits, you know that? You can make a withdrawal. And so I want to deposit some things in your life today, some things that are fresh, some things that is on fire. And, you know, we have to flow now. You have to flow with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We need him. As Leroy talked to him tremendously this morning, he's the administrator, and he knows what we need, and we're going to deal with some particular things this morning. You know, we have believers in the church. We have Christians. We're believers. We're Christians. We're people of God. But this sonship take on a deeper dimension. When you recognize that you are sons and daughters of God, it calls you not to want to sin. It calls you to know that there's a power in me that is greater than self. Self is the problem. I'm told that if you don't die every day, you don't grow. If you don't die, you will not develop. Jesus said we should die every day. Because if you don't die, you're going to answer to something else. Are you following me? And so turn your Bible to John chapter 14. And I want to begin to, if we have to name this, this is new to me, but it's powerful. Sons are called to walk in the footprints of Jesus. Jesus left some footprint as our elder brother and a son of God that the church collectively as sons and daughters of God, I'm going to use the term sons to walk in the footprint of Jesus. Now, that is a joyous experience, but we need to know what it takes to do that. The church at large have not expounded on this enough for us to really understand. Actually, Jesus' footprints are supernatural. Not only, listen to me well now, not only is his footprint supernatural, but Jesus' footprints, are you listening? Are the blueprints of the spiritual life. Oh, I love that. You just told me that, you know. Yeah, Jesus' footprint. When you learn how to walk in Jesus' footprint is the blueprint of living the spiritual life. When the Lord started dealing with me about sharing this with you about sonship and how to walk in the footprint of Jesus, here's what he said to me. Everywhere you go, you should leave Jesus' footprint. You get that, Ronnie? Heard us say, everywhere you go, If you should leave Jesus' footprint. A person need to know, once you've been to a place, a person need to know Jesus been here. I'm not going nowhere that I cannot leave Jesus' footprint. Now, you are called. I'm going to give you some spiritual principles. How to actually walk in the footprints of Jesus. He taught us that in the Word. Here in John 14, you got John 14 open? John 14. Now, the first thing to be able to do to walk in Jesus' footprint, the Father has to be revealed. Leroy Jr. can't walk in my footprint if you don't know who I am. You don't know what I stand for. The footprints are there, but it's up to Leroy to walk in them. You don't want to talk to me. So let's start at the seventh verse. We're going to see something here. John 14, 7, because we're working our way down. If you have known me, you would have, Jesus talking to the disciples, to kind of confuse who he is. He said, if you had known me, you would have known the Father. See, they want to say, show us the Father. He said, you're looking at him. And that's the same way when you go to the supermarket. If people want to see the Father, when you walk through the door, you're looking at him. How many of y'all understand what I'm saying now? See, all right, now watch this. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Oh, he said, show us the Father. Show us the Father. This is what the world crying for. A church, believers, sons and daughters, the world is crying for us to show them the Father. Show us the Father. And look, notice what he said. Jesus said to him, night verse, you with me? Have I not been with you so long? Yet you have not known me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? With me? Now this is our example. This is the way it should be with us. The glory of God, by 20, 25 minutes, the glory of God is going to hit this place. Because this is the way it should be with us. Look at me, you see him. I'm doing everything I can to let him live his life through me. I want to be just like him. Tenth verse here, do you not believe that I am in the Father, glory to God, and the Father in me? Say in me.
Amen.
The Father in me.
Father in me.
Watch now. The words now, that's very important what he's saying here now. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me, watch this now, does the word. Wave your hand at me if you're with me. All right, listen, because you're going to see something in a minute. 11th verse says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Now watch what he said. Now if you can't get it that way, he says, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. In other words, in Jesus' footprint, certain things was going on that declared that heaven is still alive. Jesus' footprint, not the Spirit of God speaking to me. Jesus' footprints was always steps of possibilities. Jesus made no impossible steps. In other words, it can't be done. Every step he made was a step of possibility. That's the way believers should live. Hello. That's the way we should live. We should live in the realm of the supernatural. Making things possible that look impossible to religion and tradition. Why? We're people of revelation. Revelation revolutionized your life. It revolutionized your thinking. It revolutionized your social setting, whoever around you. When you got a revelation, you just cannot appeal to everybody. And everybody does not appeal to you. Why? Because you're living by a revelation. You're not living by religion. See, religion, everybody can roll together. But revelation puts you in another rhythm. What I said? Revelation puts you in another rhythm. Yeah, it's a rhythm higher than self. It's a rhythm higher than the mental man. It's revelation puts you in a supernatural rhythm. Where you can say, and you're not going to enjoy your Christian life until you be able to say this. What God going to do with this? It's a situation to come in your life. You understand? And you can't, you know, you've done everything you could, and you finally stand up and say, oh, what God going to do with this? Because you know he's going to handle it. Yeah. 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 I want to ask you a question here. You dealing with something? Listen to me. You a child of God? You must know he's going to handle it. Yeah. Tell that person next to you, he's going to handle it. He's going to handle it. See, we got to know this. See, that's revelation. See, that's revelation. That's seeing beyond what's happening. See, the veil has been torn. The stone is rolled away. The shadow has been removed. Dig deep. Climb the tree. Move the mountain. Because it's possible for you. You have to read this in order to get where we're going. In the 12th verse, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believe in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater work than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now listen. Listen, my brothers and sisters, I'm not going to be long this morning. Listen. Listen, y'all laughing at me. Listen. 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 What you call long? I've preached almost 3 hours, you know. Y'all haven't seen me long. I used to preach y'all a little hour or something, but y'all haven't seen me preach long. Don't tempt me. So from this day forward, I want you to know that there's a requirement from the Father for you as a son. You're called to walk in the footprints of Jesus. You're called to walk in miracles. You're called to walk in signs and wonders. You call to raise the dead. Yeah, you are. You call to cast out demons, and they can't talk back to you. Now, to do this, I asked the Holy Spirit, you know, my wife and I were out on our RV. I still got it parked I drove here 2.5 hours to minister to you this morning. So you better appreciate it. The footprints of Jesus. Now, how can I walk in the footprints of Jesus? First of all, the first thing you're going to need to know is, you need to understand this. The breath of God is breathed on the inside of me. If you look at Genesis 2, the breath of God. You need to operate from the breath of God. You need to operate from the life extension of heaven. You need to operate from that. the breath of God. If you don't have the breath of God, if you're not operating from the, if you're operating from your natural breath, if you're operating from just natural life, 1 Corinthians 2:14 said the natural man cannot receive things of God. You're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to walk in the footprints of Jesus. You haven't lived yet until you start walking in the footprints of Jesus. But you're going to have to walk, breathing out of the breath of God. You see me? Yeah. All right. Let's just look at this. There's two places I want to look at the breath of God. In Genesis 2. My goodness. Oh, it's going to get better. Genesis 2. I just want to look at, I think it's 2 and 7. 2 and 7. Let's turn that. I'm going to get to it. Wait a minute. Because I really want you to see these two things. Because I'm going to tell you, the church was not born in Acts chapter 2. We're going to find really what the church was born at. The church was born in John's gospel. Not in the book of Acts. We've been preaching that it was born in the book of Acts, but it was not born in the book of Acts. What? In Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and did what?" What? What? My God, I got a King, New King James man. He said, man became a living being. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril. You know, I don't let them light nothing that bother me. You know, I just keep on going. So, yeah. The breath of life. And man became a living being. You see that? Now, go over to John chapter 20 now. John chapter 20. You see it again in a different format. Now, Jesus have rose from the dead. And now he's making some appearances before he leave. And he did a certain thing there. That would touch your heart. In John 20, 22. And you know, I'm reading out the King James Version, New King James Version. And when he had said this, he what?
Breathe
on them. That's the church? That's it. That's when the church was birthed, right there. See, he's risen. Say, church alive. Right there, when that breath came. See, that first breath he breathed in the man was the very life of God, but Adam threw it away. So we needed another breath. And so Jesus here, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Spirit. So say, the breath of God is on the inside of me. That's powerful. Huh? Receive, you hear what he's saying? Receive the original life I had for you. Let me take you back to your first position. To rule and have dominion on my behalf. You see what I'm saying? See, Adam lost the first breath. But Jesus brought it back. And as the Bible says, he what? Breathed in them the breath of his very essence. The breath of his very abilities was breathed in us. Because of that, you better listen. You better be listening. Because of that, when you attack, you're long-winded. Yeah. You're not going to faint because you're breathing from a different breath. And you're designed to hold your breath a long time underwater. Because you have divine oxygen going through you. You can handle it. You're going through something, that's all right. Your wind gonna last longer than that. Can y'all see that? Huh? See, you don't breathe normal. You don't just breathe physical air. You breathing from the atmosphere of heaven. You have supernatural breath going in you. Come on now. You can't walk in the footprint of Jesus breathing normal. You got to realize I have a life that is on the inside of me that is indestructible, unstoppable, undeniable, unblockable. Talk, man. God. But in order to live like that, you got to keep breathing. The breath of God is on the inside of me. Say it. And it's not there just for you to breathe. It's in there for you to take over. You can hold your breath longer than any demon. You won't fight? Huh? How many rounds you won't go? Why? Through that breath, hold your seat now. Through that breath, God is constantly pumping his life. Woo! Every day on the inside of me. I'm getting fresh breath every day. From heaven. You think you're having, but I get another breath. So to walk in the footprint of Jesus, because Jesus walked strong and he walked heavy, but he was breathing different. And so when the church was birthed, the same breath that Jesus was breathing was placed into every member. Lord, I want to get off this one, but the Holy Spirit keep talking to me. The Holy Spirit says, tell them right now. You tell them that they have eternal breath. Oh, yeah. On the inside of them. A breath that can't die. What? I'm breathing a breath that can't die. Glory to God. Then now. Since you know that the church did not born in Acts 2, church born in John 20. Jesus, after the resurrection, he breathed. I know it's new, good news and new news too. The church born in John 20, when Jesus breathed into those disciples, that's when the new birth took place. That's when the church was formed. That's when the supernatural came to the earth to stay. Now, in order, not only do you need to have the life of Jesus to walk in his footprint, but you have to have a certain type of power. Certain type of power. And so we're going to look at it this way. The baptism of the Holy Spirit empower you to walk places that men has not been able to walk. The scientists can't walk it. The educational field can't walk it. Huh? All them smart psychology people can't walk it. No, it's a place that only somebody who has been empowered with a special endowment from heaven can walk it. We got to walk this thing, children. We got to walk like we know who we are. We got to walk through cancer, walk through lack, walk through limitation. Listen. Your problem, one of the major problems is you try to live by your culture. People are all messed up trying to live by their culture. Some think they're superior, some think they're inferior. That's culture walk. Man, I ain't walking by no culture. I live by revelation of who I am in Christ. So you can't intimidate me. You can't get me upset because I'm already above that. Intimidation, upsetness in the culture. Get over this culture thing. You're a Christian. You're in Christ. Stop living by culture. You can't walk. Oh, my. You can't walk in the footprint of Jesus by culture. I'm saying more than y'all hearing. Y'all really not hearing me. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. I'm saying all racism, all prejudice is over. Why? You don't have no culture. I'm not number one person. In Christ. Christ my culture. These other cultures ain't working. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Acts chapter 2. Now you just got, if you listen to me, you just got delivered. Oh my goodness. If you listen at me, you cannot walk in the footstep of Christ by culture, by race, by your color, by your accent. They got nothing to do with it. Jew, Gentile, and the church. That's the only three. That's the only three people God recognized. Why y'all get so upset when somebody look at you wrong? Culture. You just got set free right there. But y'all ain't getting it. This is a revelation, man. You just said free. Just watch the television, all this stuff going on. Man, you free from that. Come on now. Talk to me. Today you die to your culture. I ain't fighting for no culture. I'm fighting for Christ. You want me to tell you something about this? You want me to tell you something about this? And Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, you know what free means? You know what free means? Exempt. I'm exempt from anything beside what comes from heaven. See, you talk about divine exemption. You're divinely exempted from any opinion, any reason, any fact that man put on you. You're already free from that because Jesus said you shall know the truth and the truth shall exempt you. I wish I was 18 about right now. 18. If I knew that when I was about 18 years old, man, a lot of stuff I wouldn't have gone through. This baptism brought on a new dimension of living. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. They already had the breath of life, but I want to add to the breath baptism. See, you already got it on the inside, but I want to make sure you're covered on the outside. See, the baptism is for the outside. See, when you were born of the Spirit, you got power on the inside. When you were baptized of the Holy Spirit, the power came upon you. So to walk in the footprint of Jesus, you have to have his breath and his baptism. That's when the thing broke out. When they got that baptism, thing broke out, boy. Right after the baptism, Acts 2, you had Act 2? Right after that baptism, things start breaking out on the outside. Give me a regular King James version, Bible. I got this new King James, didn't know it. You kind of lose people when you're reading it. In Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost, verse 1, was fully come, they were all one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them, we're talking about fire this morning, divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. That's what this version says. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They became capable. You listening?
Yes, sir.
They became capable of pumping divine energy in themselves. I wish I had a church to pray with me. See, I'm going to another level. Y'all got to go to another level now. Y'all can't be sending them back. Listen, they have the ability to pump divine power, divine energy on the inside of me that enable me to make that next step. I see Jesus' footprint. But I need more fuel. I need more energy. And I need more power to walk in that step. So I pump myself up. I can't make that step in the strength I'm in now. But God have given me a supernatural way to prepare myself for this next step. Satan think I can't go there. But after I fuel up, I'm about to make this next step. You see, what I'm doing is pumping divine energy. Pumping heaven's fuel. Hey, you didn't hear it. I'm pumping heaven's fuel on the inside of me that I can make that next step. Come on, pray in tongue a little bit. See, that's fuel. That's energy. That's power. That's empowerment. That's glory. That's God. That's fullness. That's strength coming in me. Oh my goodness. No, this is not a waste language. No. When I need to make a step that I'm incapable of making myself, I stop to the station. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I get an energy that is beyond my enemy. I get an energy that is beyond my enemy's strength. To walk in the footprints of Jesus as a son, I must be fully energized by the Holy Spirit. Wave your hand at me. Wave your hand at me. And it's always capable because I'm a child of God. The Holy Spirit belongs to me. His job is to empower me beyond self, beyond senses, beyond the sin, beyond Satan, beyond this system. Look at two or three people and tell them, I'm baptized with holy energy. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm baptized with holy energy. Whoa, my God. Hallelujah. You heard that? Huh? And I can fuel up on you at any time. And my enemy knows that. Wow. Wow. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to give you another one. Acts chapter 4. Leroy bought the rankest Bob he can find, a regular. My people, no, that's good enough. But this Bobby, yeah, they might think I'm broke. This thing falling apart. It's one of my wore-out Bibles. All right, you got the breath of God, right? And you got the baptism of the Spirit. We're talking about sons walking in the footprint of Jesus, right? Y'all ought to appreciate that energy the Holy Spirit just told us about, right? All right, the third thing you have to know is, have to receive is boldness for service. You got to have a confidence that beyond humanistic power. In Acts 4:31, the church was challenged. In Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they did what? With what? Boldness, confidence. You're bold when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And some of the steps that Jesus made, they were bold steps. And if you're going to make them, you're going to have some boldness, partner. What about walking on the water? Huh? Huh? See, and sometimes you need to walk on the water. It don't have to be liquid. It's a situation. They're telling you, you can't cross over. A situation telling you, you're not going no further. This is it. No, you say, I'm finna walk on some new turf here. I'm going to walk on the water here today. I'm going to walk where no man have walked before. Y'all don't want me to preach up in here. Y'all, see, we don't need to just go in this emotional stuff. You need to walk out here and know you're breathing. That you're baptized. And that you live within and upon you is a divine boldness that can't come from nowhere else. When they prayed, the place begin to, I've had that experience, you know, begin to shake where they were more than one time. Look at Acts, go back to the 13th verse. Men and women that walk with Jesus. Verse 13, verse. See, they got baptized in the Holy Ghost in the second chapter, right? Now look at the 13th verse. Now they have done ministry, supernatural ministry, this lamb man walking. And the church asking about what power, what name you've done this. But then they won't hem them up. You know, they won't hem them up. See, just like they try to hem Word of Life up down here in this area. Because, you know, they say speaking in tongue and all kind of folks come in. They ain't gonna last long. They don't know though. We had certain boldness behind them. Wasn't trying to hurt nobody, but I'm just trying to go somewhere. I'm just trying to go somewhere I haven't been before. And they had a whole lot of folks just trying to hold me. Said, "No, stay here with us." I said, "No, I can't stay. Something scratching on the inside of me. There's more to God than this." Even the city of Baton Rouge in New Orleans, I'm just going to talk to them now. They tried to hold me back. They tried to hold me down. He said, "We're not going to call them to preach. He'll finally come to himself. I got crazier, Janet. I knew there was more. See? Now I'm preaching in Chicago and Hawaii and you know, God opened a door somewhere, you know. They're trying to hold me, and I'm preaching in Madison Square Garden. I'm trying to tell you something about your life. Don't let people hold you on their level. That's a crawfish and a crab mentality that have come over to church. Move on up a little higher. Enjoy yourself. Stretch your wings out. Fly higher. Good God Almighty. God got new territories for you. Nobody will keep going over the same thing, the same thing, same thing. No, let's fly higher. When the storm comes, lock your wings like an eagle and make the storm work for you. You know every storm is supposed to work for you, right? You know every opposition that come against you. You know every problem that come against you is supposed to work for you, right? Jesus has fixed it so that you can turn every problem into a possibility. Hallelujah! You can put that in the genius book. Again, it's book of records. You can put that in there. Jesus had made it that you can turn every problem. What he said, follow me. What me did? Me turned every problem into a possibility. I'm following Jesus, me. Lift your hand. Say, I'm following Jesus, me. That means that what you're dealing with right now is not going to hold you down. But you about to turn it into a miracle, a sign, and a wonder from heaven. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah, come on. Want me to tell you what the Spirit of God is telling me right now? Huh? You want to hear it? It's okay. It's make you get in the trunk of your car and dance, partner. Open this trunk. I'm gonna dance. I'm gonna dance this. I dance in the trunk of the car this morning. I don't need no big space. Just open the trunk. I don't need to get in the front seat. Just open the trunk. Oh my. Watch this. Sit down. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Boldness for service. Now, I'm gonna use myself so y'all don't get upset. But when I walk in a place, I don't care how many thousand in there, they know boldness have walked in. Because I'm walking in the footprint of Jesus. I walk in these meetings, these big meetings, camp meetings, all these kind of meetings that are going on. When I walk in, they know that I know. I'm not going to be controlled up in here. No, I'm not. I'm going to do what the Lord sent me here to do. I would tell Leroy Jr. and we'd get off the plane and we'd drive into them big old churches. I'd look at him and say, boys, I want to tell y'all something. It's just another church. Don't let the chandeliers, don't let the size of it fool you. God's here. God, so I sense some people, you let certain people intimidate you. Now, I want that stopped now in the name of Jesus. Greater is he. You understand what I'm saying? So don't let people with statistics, worldly accolades intimidate you. Don't let degrees and titles intimidate you. Know that you're a child of the living God. Know that you can't go no higher than being a child of the living God. There's no other name.
at the name of Jesus. All official tithers have to bow. I told you, I mean, don't even let, let me go on the sideline here. Don't let millionaires, trillionaires, billionaires intimidate you because you're a gardener. You know what a gardener means? I'm connected with somebody who owns everything you got. And if I need to get somebody your account, I'm going to get it. I'm connected. I receive. I'm connected. That's a $100 check. I'm connected. I'm connected. I wish you would hear me just for a minute here. I'm connected with an amount that can't be counted. Oh, man. Greg, give him a high five, man. Give your brother a high five. Cause my folks get it. They don't want to get it. Y'all come here and help me, you know. I'm connected. I'm connected with an amount that can't. Say it. Don't y'all ever forget that. Now I got to get back to my message. There's nothing in this world you can't have. Why? Psalm 24:1. Psalm 24. Thank you, brother. Somebody, y'all got to come here and liven this church up. Help these people understand that I'm preaching the full gospel here. I'm preaching the full gospel. Yeah, he helping them. Run, man. He helping them. Somebody got to come all the way out of town to appreciate a good word. I didn't give you a non-dictionary word. Heaven has a dictionary. You're a gardener. You connected with an amount that can't be counted. I wish I had time. Millionaires do not have as much as you own. I gotta go. Y'all, thank you, brother. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we can find what? See, that's where you get it from. See, God has set up a throne for you to come to get bold. Paul asked the church to pray for him in Ephesians 6, said that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right, sit down. Let me give you one or two more. So we got. We're walking in the footprints of Jesus. Work that I do, shall you do also. And greater work than these shall you do, because I go to my Father, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. That's what you're talking about. Right? That's the greater works. The works and the greater work. All right? Oh, Lord. I know I might lose you here. You must remind yourself, and you must stay aware of the fact that you're always wearing a breakthrough anointing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You, did you hear that? Yes, sir. That as a son of God, you're always wearing a breakthrough anointing. Jail can't hold you. Sickness can't hold you. Lack can't hold you. Limitation can't hold you. Your enemy can't hold you. Problem can't hold you. The job can't hold you down. Nothing can hold you because you're wearing a breakthrough anointing. Come on, you listen to me? Huh? Look at Luke 4:18. Look at Luke 4:18. You got your shouting clothes? Say, I'm wearing a breakthrough anointing. I'm walking in the footprints of Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, he got a breakthrough. So it shouldn't be no different for you. Because you're a child of God. You are wearing, good God Almighty, a breakthrough anointing. When something come up, you say, yeah, something else to break through. Holy Spirit, help me break through this. Oh, my God. My Holy Spirit, help me break through this. Help me break through this sickness. Let me break through this. I need a miracle. Listen to me, my brothers. Are you listening? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Your life can come to a place that every step you make is a miracle. You know why? You know why? You are a miracle. Any man or woman been born again, have accepted Jesus Christ, is a miracle. So you must understand. Can I preach a little higher here? You must understand you're a miracle going somewhere to happen. You must understand that. These signs, miracles should follow you. We are not to follow miracles. Miracles are supposed to follow us. Why? Because you are a miracle. You attract miracles. I dare not to be religious again. My goodness. Luke 4:18. Jesus tell us how to do it. You want to walk in my footstep, Jesus said? Let me show you something. I'm almost through, John. So you're going to leave here walking in the footprints of Jesus. Now, one thing Jesus always did, Gwendolyn, one thing Jesus always did, listen very carefully. See, Jesus was walking in the footprint of God. I said, Jesus was walking in the footprint of God. But he never made a step without consulting God. So if you're going to walk in the footprints of Jesus, don't make that step until you consult with him. I'll give you a better one to think about. Said the Spirit of God won't speak to us so fervently this morning. Always remember you have Jesus' shoes on. You heard that? Y'all heard that over there? What I said? Always remember you have Jesus' shoes on. How do you just say that? How do you just say that in the natural world? Shoes too big to fit for? Huh? To feel? You've heard that before, right? But through sonship. For the Bible says, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. You leave here, think about it. I'm wearing Jesus' shoes. That means I can't go everywhere. That means I don't want to go everywhere. That means there's certain people I'm not going to walk with. The Spirit. Jesus took a text when they took a text from Isaiah. Isaiah was prophesying about him. Come on, y'all, get with me now. Come on now. I'll stay an hour longer. See, some of y'all feel like you're discouraged. You ain't even listening. You touch, but you're not changed. You better hear what the Lord's saying here. You're going to need this in days to come. You're not in no, this is not no religious spirit. I'm not teaching a sermon. I'm speaking life. Can you read these words here? These words here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say it. Romans 8, verse 11 say, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. So look at what he says. The spirit of the Lord is on me Lord, I got 5 minutes for my hour. Lord, my. Lord, no, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'll finish this, but I got to show you something. Oh, Jesus. Turn to Mark. Oh, my. I'll do it, Lord. You better believe it, I'm going to do it. To walk in the footstep of Jesus, you must today make priorities in your life. Listen to me now. I'm going to show you how to do it. But you're going to have to put first things first. It's not material gain. It's not what I need, what I want. That's not the priority. Jesus already have aligned it up how you walk in his footstep. Verse 15 of the 16th chapter of Mark. In the last 5 years, how many people you won to Christ? The last 5 years, how many people? Or the last year, how many people have you crossed across the line by your witnessing? Half of you all in your cancer, three quarters of y'all cancer. Yeah, ain't nobody cross. Because you're so busy trying to get your house. The house come with the soul. See, we have not been taught to walk in our first love. We're so concerned about what we need, what we got to get, the $500 check. These people sound like wild. Another lady said $500, $1,000, and so on. All right, listen. How many people the last 2 years have you won to Christ? I mean, I'm not talking about no gang bang. I'm talking about you by yourself. Talk to them about Jesus, and you prayed the prayer with them and led them to Christ. How many people the last 2 years? Most of y'all none. You know why? It's not your fault. You've been taught wrong. You wasn't given the first step. Here's the first step. Verse 15. He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now here's the problem. Can I tell you the problem? Jehovah Witness. That is not of God for you to go somewhere God didn't send you. And they come bothering people, don't know what people are doing. Ringing the doorbell with them little white things on and talking about, I got something to tell you. And then it's lost themselves, but that's another story. Then the church had these great evangelism program. And they're going to go out and they're going to evangelize. No, that's not the way. That's not the way. The way is, as you go, be ready at all times. God, watch, look at me. God is sending somebody to you every day. And I'm gonna have a training class here just to show you how to use these pamphlets about the new birth. And you keep one in your purse, and keep one in your pocket, and that little pamphlet can walk it right through it, and you're gonna get a signal from the Holy Spirit. That's your portion today. Yes. Now, when you get to heaven, your car, your house, the clothes you wear, the type of glasses, the type of rings you wear, not gonna be there. Is that person running towards you? Say, I made it. Because you talked to me in that store that day. I wouldn't have made it if you didn't. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't have made it if you didn't talk to me. Somebody's crying out, Glenn. Somebody crying out, Glenn, talk to me. Tell me what you got. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going about my business and forget about God's business. Somebody need me to talk to them every day. You don't have to look for them. Ask the Lord for them before you leave the house. Send somebody across my way. If you see a lady walking, I saw me and Carol saw a lady walking. She had a back brace on. That's my old man. I said, ma'am, I said, your back giving you a problem. I see that. I said, can my wife and I pray for you? She said, oh, yes. I said, told my wife, I said, I learned that from my spiritual father. Put your hand on her back. I put my hand on top of her hand. That's a gentleman. And I prayed for her. And when I prayed for her, she's open. I give her 3 tracks. I said, it's this new birth here. Then the other lady asked me, why was she asking me when I leave them out? What order to read them in? I said, read the new birth first, then the baptism, then the healing. I'm going to train this whole church to do that. Because that's the first thing you got to learn. That's your first thing. Go preach the gospel. All right? Let me hurry. I'm not time up. Let me hurry. Because I got to finish reading this. Verse 17. After you get that, then verse 17 come and play it. See, we're trying to get verse 17 again. It don't come and play it until you become a witness. God, I don't want to say this, Lord. My God, I'm going to have to say it, though. Yes, sir. That's a $500 check. $500. My God. I don't want to say this. I don't want to say it, Lord. But you know I'm going to say it. You know I ain't going and don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to put you down because it's my job to train you as your pastor. Some of y'all don't know where y'all came from, what y'all was under before you got here. All right. But my members just lazy because they've been trained. They know the truth. They know how to do it. Them that have been with me? Oh, yeah, I've taught them, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I've taught them. They know. Now, some of you all never witnessed to somebody about Jesus. In the second place, some of y'all never led nobody to Christ, but yet you want a 2-story house and 2 Mercedes. Can we come to reality today? Some of us going through problems because we fail to obey the call. And 15 people just pass us going to hell. We ain't saying nothing about it. I'm on my way to church. Run over them. Get the hell out the way. I'm going to church. Run over them. You run over them. I'm going to church. I'm going to hear the choir. Get the hell out of my way. I'm going to church. You won't tell them about you. Now, I'm warning you, Word of Life. I'm warning you right now. Whether you want to stay here or not, whether you want to go find your church, don't talk about this, that's fine. But I'm warning you right now. The Lord wants us to witness. Now, if you want to ask, I'll buy all you want. Got the new boys track? You want some of them? Ask for them. They will train you how to witness. But we need to get this done. Not just for somebody to join this church. We need somebody to get born again and in Christ. Y'all got it? Stand on your feet. I'm not going to miss no more. That's enough. I'll take up. We'll take up wearing that breakthrough anointing. Believing constantly for the supernatural. It's a $500 check. Beating the devil at every turn. We'll talk about the bottom line of victory. That's the bottom line of victory that we need to talk about. I know this, it's Palm Sunday. I know that the Sunday before the resurrection. And I told my wife, I was shaving. I told my wife, it's time to get off the donkey. Jesus rode the donkey. He ain't on the donkey no more. So it's time for us to get off the donkey. We won't go all. Here we got the donkey coming. The donkey coming. People spreading stuff for Jesus. Here come the donkey. Every Palm Sunday. No, it's time to get off the donkey. Amen. Now, you good people. You can do this. Young man, it's a good church. Tell a young man if he's from Nebraska, where he's from. It's a good church. Yeah, I'm kind of strict on things like that because I want my people. Now, people know about prosperity. They know about being healed. They know about, but we got to get this thing straight. Now, I won't make you lie. I almost say how many won't commit themselves to start witnessing like never before, but I don't want to put you in a lying position. You know, pastor looking at you, and I say, how many going to commit themselves to witness? You know everybody going to raise their hand up. Because you know, Max, what's wrong with you? So I'm not going to do that this Sunday. Pray about it. Pray about it. Witness is so important. And Lord Jesus is smiling right now. He sat at the right hand of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. You never heard this before in your life. Why don't I tell you? Why don't I tell you? The Holy Spirit is clapping his hand. I say, that's my first time hearing that, Kevin. The Holy Spirit clapping his hand right now. Because he has, look at me. He got so much he won't do for you. And when you start witnessing, it's going to free the Holy Spirit up to handle situations in your life. Because he got to keep them situations down so you can do this. But since you don't have nothing to do for the kingdom, we'll let you deal with these, put these fires out. Deal with these problems. Praying, Lord, help me do this, help me do that. No, the Holy Spirit clapping his hand. He said, if they catch this, I'm going to put them fires out. Now you say to me, I don't talk too much. I'm kind of shy. That's a lie. You get to a restaurant. You don't tell a waitress, I'm shy. Tell me something I can get to eat. You say, look, I want this right here, number 14. You see what I'm talking about? See, we got it. I want you to tell three people you got to start witnessing. Now, I promise you, not for that reason. Listen to me. I promise you, not just for that reason, because it's an important reason, because I want to minister and teach more people than I ever can. When you start witnessing, God will fill this church up. Balcony, back, everywhere. He'll fill it up all over the place. Because this church is not unfilled because of my bad preaching. It's unfilled because you're bad witnessing. Y'all got some word in you. I said, y'all got a whole lot of word in you. How many of y'all know you got a whole lot of word in you? Huh? All right, so we need to do this. We need to do this. I ain't coming to church for all that, they say. What you come for? You hear me preach? No, it's more than that, baby. I'm pointing you to him. Where your joy at? Where your peace at? In witnessing? You witness, you'll forget you have a problem. And when you go back, you probably won't have it. Because you go to work for God, God going to go to work. Y'all come sing something. Lift, close your eyes, lift your hands.